It's time to get underway with a special edition of Radio Friendships from our location in Galveston, Texas, where we're helping to meet the needs of people for the love of Jesus Christ. Radio Friendships is brought to you by Don and Sandra Tipton of Friendships Unlimited, which is located in Lake Charles, Louisiana. As the Lord said in Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together.
Great day and welcome to Radio Friendships. This is Jeff Reed standing in for Don and Sandra Tipton from Galveston, Texas. And yes, you can tell by the noise in the background that we have our table set up on the corner of 51st and Broadway on Galveston Island. Today, I want to get right to the point because I have a feeling we're going to need every minute to share with this wonderful story of our guest today. And you guys may remember of a past program with Bill Henderson. But we have the privilege of having him here today at the dining area on 51st and Broadway.
Thank you, Jeff. It's good being here, brother.
Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, in a nutshell, I'll do a little Reader's Digest version, but I grew up in church. I never came to know the Lord personally until I was 27. I'm now 57. I've been serving God for 30 years. But to rewind the tape, I was born, and long about 4 years old, they discovered I had leg perthes. My right hip socket was 50% disintegrated by this time. My leg was 2 inches shorter on the right side. I walked with an extreme back and forth limp. And I was placed in the Children's Hospital in Los Angeles, California. They had me in a bed and they had cables going over pulleys and baskets and put weights. And they were doing all this stuff that I can remember as, you know, from 4 to 5. And I remember I did not like being there. I remember that when they let me go home after that year in the hospital, I think it was exactly 11 months, they told my mother that little Billy will not live probably past a teenager, that this bone disease would spread throughout his body and he'd become an all-around cripple, and that was the pronunciation over me. My mom was watching a man on television talk about Jesus. And the man on television, now this is back not that long ago, 1950, about that long ago. And he said, if you need a miracle, touch the television screen. So I hobbled over there with my mom's encouragement. I put my hand on the television screen. And a long story short, or was it a short story long? The Lord visited me, put a new hip socket, and grew my leg back 2 inches. I was able to kick off my built-up shoe, take off my leg brace, and throw away my crutches. My mother took me back to the hospital, and she began to preach to the doctors, and she pleasantly told them with much excitement that Jesus did this. Well, I grew up with that knowledge that Jesus is a healing Jesus. And I was a Baptist and we moved a lot. So every time we moved, I'd get baptized again. That's kind of how they do it. And I tell everybody, I said, I was baptized about 9 or 10 times. And I went in a wet sinner and I came out a dry sinner. Or I went in a dry sinner and came out a wet sinner. And that's giving a long few days here. Pardon me. And I had all this knowledge that Jesus was real. But yet I ended up fighting, bouncing bars, bodyguarding, dropping out of school, just being an idiot, just a knucklehead, going nowhere fast. 1978, December the 6th, I was on a drug overdose in and out of my body, looking at a dead man on the floor. My mom passed away 4 years earlier in my arms from cancer. But I heard her voice, Jeff, and she said, Billy, don't run from Jesus. Run to him. I did a 911 prayer. I did an emergency prayer. I bartered with God like Abraham. I said, I'll tell you what, you don't let me die. If you save me, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And he did, and I am. Went back in my body, stood up sober. And then during that week, there was 3 of us brothers that all came into the kingdom of God. And it's been a good thing.
You were talking about a life of knowledge of Christ.
Yes.
And it sounded like you became desperate and you fully surrendered. Lord, take my life. What kind of difference did that make?
You know, Jude says, some saved by love, some saved by fear. And for me, it took fear. I remembered the love, but it took the fear. What I didn't tell you is I felt something grab me by the throat, pull me out of my body. And believe me, it wasn't something happy and something nice. The further I got from my body, the worse it got, brother. So the fear of God was put into me during those few moments.
You've been serving him ever since.
Yeah.
And in many different ways.
Many different ways.
You seem to show up a lot. You've been on missions with us before.
I've been to Haiti with him and Israel. And just, yeah, we've been globetrotting a little bit.
More than anxious to get out here.
I couldn't hardly wait. It's
amazing to sit here and watch you work around the crowd. You're not a bully, although you've had a past that you could be called a bully.
Yeah.
You've learned a way to be very energetic. Well, I don't want to say it's a method. It's just who you are.
It really is who I am. I am who I am. Me and Popeye, you know?
Yeah. And I'm telling you, what you can't see on radio is he's a big guy. And if you listen to the past program, you know he did have kind of an upbringing that would show that he knows how to handle himself. But he is full of smiles. And he's standing there in the line greeting people, sharing a smile with them first.
Yeah. Well, the Bible says that God will give us fresh oil, Psalm 92:10. It's the kingly, the prophetic, and it's very powerful. And the word in the Hebrew is ra'anan. And it means not only empowered for ministry, not only physical and spiritual strength, but it means that our countenance will actually change and become bright and cheerful. And then we get a seed from God to bring hospitality to other people.
Mm.
And it's hard to put words on it, but you just know that you need to help somebody.
Yeah.
It says in Matthew 25 that we're to go to the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, and those in prison. Those are six different venues where we should reach out to the disenfranchised people. And obviously, Galveston at this time, 2008, it's a hard hit place. These people are very downtrodden. We already have a couple of stories of a fellow that received the Lord and then was quickly water baptized.
Yeah.
Another lady we prayed with in the IHOP restaurant shared with me that she hadn't seen her kids in over a month. And I said, let's just pray that God would just do a miracle within 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then she goes, 24 hours? I said, okay, then how about a week? But how about fast? And she didn't even know she could shake her head yes. But 24 hours later, less than, she showed up here on the campsite here on Broadway and 51st. She got a meal and all of a sudden she hears, Mom, Mom. And the two kids that she hadn't seen in over a month showed up on this property right here. Today, Jeff, if you look over there, you will see this woman. She's helping out doing all the kitchen
and the
washing and cooking. And it's like, she's grateful.
You know, that's something that we've heard from almost everybody we've interviewed here so far is the power of prayer, earnest prayer. Why do you think that's so important? Why is that so vital at a time like this in Galveston?
Prayer is simply talking to God. A lot of people don't pray because they think you have to do like they do in some churches. Hallelujah,
yeah, brother.
Well, no. I mean, I grew up hearing that kind of stuff. And I remember thinking as a young lad, you know, that's just not me. I cannot identify. When I found out that I could talk to God just like I'm talking to you right now, it rocked my world, brother.
Yeah.
Hosea 4:6 says, my people, and we're not talking about sinners, we're talking about God's people. My people perish for a lack of knowledge, but that word knowledge means intimacy and fellowship with God. Whoa. It also means from that is birthed spiritual wittiness and awareness. So I like word studies, and I don't even like to share a verse unless I look it up.
That reminds me of the past interview also. You did a book. What was the name of the book again?
My book is called God's Radical Remnant. It has 12 stories of just like being here, winning people to Jesus. Some of them are in Brazil and Jamaica and just all over the world.
Yeah, from what I remember, there's a lot of word studies in there.
Endorsed by Jesse Duplantis. You can find that book on word-onthestreet.com on our website.
Okay.
Yeah, one of my favorite word studies is Proverbs 11:30. And I realized that, you know, I wasn't a wise person growing up. I was a stupid idiot. And I said, God, when I got saved, I said, man, I needed some wisdom here. And this verse jumped off the page at Proverbs 11:30. He who is wise wins souls. Amplified says, he who is wise captures human lives for God.
Amen.
I looked up that word, Jeff. The word wise is hakam. And if you say it and you spit on somebody when you said it, then you said the Hebrew right. But it means nine things. And anybody in the sound of our voices today, if you lean towards talking to people about Jesus, tell somebody what Jesus did for you, then these nine attributes begin to develop in us. And here they are: strategic, cunning, crafty, subtle, intelligent, skillful, artful, learned, and shrewd. When I first looked all that up, I said, "Dear God, I'm none of that." But little by little over the years, the Lord has allowed me to flow down those several different veins, sometimes several at once. When I first tried to win souls for Jesus, the first thing that happened to me is the guy began to cuss. I was in a mall. Before I could think, Jeff, because I was a rounder, I like to fight. So before I could think, I grabbed him by the Adam's apple, shoved him up the wall. His feet were dangling, and I'm getting ready to pop him one. Well, my brother says to me, "You know, I don't think we're supposed to do it this way anymore." And I felt so bad. I went to church and I told the guys, I said, "You know, this soul winning stuff is not for me." "Well, mm-hmm. you talked about principles." And he says, "Well, what principles are you using?" I says, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Bill, if you want to operate in the principles, you got to find a promise." He says, "Yeah, God watches over his word and performs his word." I go, "I don't follow." And he goes, "Example, Exodus 4:12. God told Moses, 'You go, I'll be with your mouth. I'll teach you what to say.' Moses says, 'Man, my tongue is fat. I stammer with speech. I am not your man.'" And he goes, No. "You just go." So I says, "You know, I'm going to try this. I'm going to give it one more shot." I went back to that same mall. Do you know, in 20 minutes, I won two people to the Lord that fast? I heard myself say some things that I didn't even know were in the Bible, but I found out later they were.
Yeah.
So God, you know, it's really God in us and through us that allows more of the Lord and his spirit to flow through us. And then it really isn't us.
Yeah.
And those attributes we see, those are the attributes of God.
That flow through. I like to put it, well, you know, sometimes people like to point out the flaws of my personality. I said, "Well, that's just the holes for your spirit to blow right through me." You know? Well, we're going to have to take a short break here. But as we go into break, I'd like to play a little of your wife's music. She's quite a singer.
You know, she has an album out called Audience of One. She has three other albums. And she was a soloist for Jimmy Swaggart back in the mid-80s. She was actually signed with Warner Brothers to be in the pilot video of MTV before she got saved. She has quite a voice. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite songs that and administered me when I met her in 1994 in San Diego was called Picking Up the Pieces. And really, our whole life is kind of about that. At different stages of our life, we need pieces picked up.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and listen to Picking Up the Pieces by your wife.
Yes, Marianne Henderson now, formerly Marianne Peluso.
Okay, we'll be right back. And now a word from Don Tipton of Friendships Unlimited.
The only thing that will matter of all your possessions, which is those you gave to God. Don't worry about your IRAs and your retirement plan and your returns. Start thinking about your return of the kingdom and how you can affect this world. Because if you happen to say yes, you have the power and the ability to change lives in nations, not only towns. There's things inside of you that you must give up. They don't belong to you. The Holy Spirit and Jesus puts them in you because you say yes. They belong to the body of Christ. You know, you own one thing in your life, and it ain't what you think it is. The Bible says, and you own the breath that's in your nostrils right now. So take a deep breath. It belongs to you. But the next one might belong to God.
For more information about Friendships Unlimited, go to www.friendships.org.
And when it comes to our human failures, we can admit.
Okay, we're back with Bill Henderson, and we've been talking a little bit about his past and how he's been transformed, how he's been healed all through Jesus Christ. And he is not ashamed to say so. He is a very bold witness. Just a very warm individual that has been smoothed over. Let's say maybe some of the rough edges have been sanded off by Jesus.
Grinded off.
But Bill, you know, again, we were talking about some of your past, and that included a lot of fighting and martial arts and different things. Mm-hmm. You actually enjoyed that at one time, didn't you?
I loved it. I don't know why. I remember when I was first saved, and I was just talking to God. I'm saying, "God, you know, I'm just an old street fighter. You know, I don't know how you're going to use me." I said, "I'm just used to breaking things. Well, you know what I ended up on? I was one of the 7 original men of the founding thing called the Power Team.
Yeah, many people may be familiar with that. Been on many shows, and including TBN.
As far as I know, I think I still hold a world's record, but I had broken 7 pair of handcuffs, broke my wrist doing it. I doubled the martial art triple break that they set in the Olympics. You know, there I was, and then here I am.
Yeah.
You know, Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." It's a Greek word for make. It's poeo. Has 32 meanings, but the greatest is this. I will cause, now this is God talking to somebody out there in radio land. I will cause anybody that will lean my direction. I will use their giftings, their personality, their talents, whatever they're good at. Remember, God made us who we are. Mm-hmm. We didn't ask to be made. He made us. And he gave us personality that we have. He says, I'll use your personality to win souls repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I studied that out, and I said, my God, I was a guy that liked to break stuff in the old days, and he let me use that talent. And to this day, all these years later, you saw just a few minutes ago at 57 years old, I still ripped the phone book in half.
It's much to the admiration of the crowd. They really enjoyed that. It got
Isn't
their
that
attention.
Amazing?
Yeah.
God will use the foolish things to confound the wise.
Yeah, but you know, there's a lot of people out there that are saying, man, Bill, that's good for you, but you don't know my past. Mm. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've been like. How could Christ use me?
Well, we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of the living and not the dead. He himself raised from the dead. He raises from the dead. He can take a person that is carnal in their inclinations and put life back into them. And a lot of it starts with just rededicating or dedicating your life to Jesus in the work of the ministry. And you're going to find, oh my goodness, if you'll just simply read the Bible every day, talk to God like you and I are having this conversation, man, it's fresh oil. There's rivers of living water start flowing.
A lot of people will sit there and say, well, you know what? I'm not one of these guys that needs to bail out. A man accomplishes what he sets out to do. He takes care of his family. I'm a construction worker. I'm a plant worker.
Mm.
In order for me to become a Christian, I would have to wimp out, so to speak.
Huh.
Do you think that's...
Well, look at the Bible. Who did Jesus go get? Fishermen.
Yeah.
Tough people. Man, especially in that day and age... I mean, fishermen today are still tough, but I mean, can you imagine they didn't have cranes and wrenches like we do on boats now? These boys were tough.
Yeah.
I mean, Peter tried to cut your head off, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know all the stories. Yeah. And that's who Jesus, he went after the man's man.
Okay. Great
and
point.
The Bible says there's 3 kind of people God uses in Corinthians. He uses the weak, the base, and the foolish, or the man's man, or whatever. If you look it up in the Greek, it's komotos, ugly, and moron.
Really?
And I said, dear God, I qualify for all 3 of those. But if anybody's a man's man, I challenge them. Real men follow Jesus. Anybody that thinks that they're somebody has got a long road ahead of them. But when you realize that we are divinely made by an almighty God, the God who names the stars, this is the God who we serve. And the word remnant... My book is called God's Radical Remnant. The remnant are the people who show up at times like this to help out. Mm. A lot of people are remnant and they don't even know they are. But that word means, in the original translation, it's the word sarid. It's someone who's been through many crises but survives. Mm. Someone that's been knocked down many times but gets back up.
Very interesting.
Someone who keeps pressing and pressing till they get a breakthrough. But watch this. Here's a final qualification. Someone who dies to pride. There are people today, Jeff, that are listening, and they're trying to do things their way. Yeah. And what they need to do is just say, all right, God, it's not my way. It's Yahweh.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, there's somebody that has been struggling with this. Yeah, like, man, I know what Bill's saying is true, but... I just can't take that first step. You know, it could be a whole nother world for them. Mm. Well, what am I doing? And it literally is.
Yeah.
What would you say to somebody right now to encourage them to take that first step?
Well, I would drastically searching for identity. I mean, I identified with the world real well. No problem.
Yeah.
I came into the church and I see all these people dressed different than me and talk different than me. And just like, man, where in that tarnation do I fit? And I remember talking to God one day, say, God, you know, you got to help me out with this. I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, you know, the Lord spoke to me and he says, go drive the bus. I said, oh, that's right. I used to race and I'm good at driving. Yeah. So I went to, and I said, do you guys need a bus driver? It turns out that the guy just quit and they needed a bus driver. So for the first year of my Baptist life, I was the bus driver for Emmanuel Baptist Church. That's where it started for me. But whoever's listening to this broadcast, if you'll talk to God and say, I'm willing to do something for your kingdom, God's going to cause somebody to talk to you. Someone's going to cross your path. Or he's going to speak to you and just give you a clear cut, go do this, go do that. He's trustworthy. We don't have to fear. The word translated for faith in the New Testament is the word trust. The word in the Old Testament translated for faith is the word character and lifestyle. But really, it's both. We need character and lifestyle, but we need to trust God also. It's not just what we can drum up. You know, Jesus told Simon, he goes, the devil wants to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail, and when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Here's how it says it in the original. Peter, the devil came to me, he asked permission, he wants to do something evil to you, and here's what it is. He wants to lie to you and torment your thoughts. There are people listening right now that your thoughts are just bouncing from this thought to that thought to here to there, coulda, shoulda, woulda, why didn't I, you know, and all these failures and your past being brought up in all of this stuff. But here's what Jesus said. But don't worry about it, Peter, because I've prayed for you. My arms are wrapped around you. You're going to fall, but I'm going to pull you back to your feet many times. And when you get the revelation, when you understand that you're not the one getting up, it's my spirit pulling you back to your feet, you're going to come to a new dedication of loving me, worshiping me, and obeying me. And then you're going to look over your shoulder. You're going to find somebody else that doesn't know what you know, and you're going to pour into them. At that point, you'll be in ministry.
Amen. Well, we're getting a little short on time, and I know we could talk probably for 3 or 4 programs, but we don't like to leave without giving a scripture of the day, and I have a feeling you've got plenty of them, but can we narrow it down to one?
One of the shortest verses in all the Bible, and this is what I used. Romans 10:13 simply says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So today, if you're listening right now and you start calling on the Lord, you shall be saved. It's the Greek word sozo. It means that God will deliver you spiritually, mentally, socially, financially, academically. Ah, but it starts with that spirit.
Before we leave, one more time, where can we find the book?
You can go to www.word-onthestreet.com.
And what about some videos? Can we go see any videos of you? Do you have anything posted online or something?
I do, and there'll be more. If you want to see a recent broadcast, you can go to tbn.org and pull up October 16th behind the scenes, and you can see photos of my motorcycle wreck. You'll see some videos of outreach ministry like we're doing here today, Jeff.
Yeah,
but...
You're a regular on TBN, aren't you?
Yeah, for a few years, sure.
Yeah, sure. So that's the face that we're talking to here today. Many of you will recognize him now that you think about it. That's Bill Henderson. Thank you so much for joining us today. I tell you what, we're going to do this a little differently instead of our usual closing. Let's go ahead and fade off to some more of your wife's music. It's just beautiful. So why don't you tell us what song we're going to hear and a little about it.
Fading off today, I'd like to hear song number 4. It's called Oh How I Love the Lord. And we talked about, you know, my people perish for a lack of knowledge or a lack of intimacy with God. So as we love the Lord and as we just trust in Him in all of our ways, you know, that's where life connects the dots.
Okay, let's go ahead and listen to this song. And I encourage you just to relax, close your eyes if you're not driving, and let it minister to you. You guys have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Friendships broadcast today. Don and Sandra Tipton invite you to join them again next time as we stand in awe of the great God we serve. Friendships is based at Port Mercy in Lake Charles, Louisiana. For information about Friendships Unlimited, dial 337-433-5022 or go on the internet to friendships.org.